It's showtime.
Producer Sam, what up?
Not much.
Not much. Well, let's hope war is up when I come back to you again.
What do you want me to give you? My whole day story.
I know your life story.
My day story.
Yeah, let's start from the moment you woke up. I want to say thank you to Tom Bernard and the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network for inviting us to be part of the network well over a year ago. Thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, always seeking justice for the injured. MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com is how to reach out to them. We'll have more information. Also, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, SmartStartMN.com. If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, get in touch with Smart Start MN. They will make it seamless to get back on the road. Also, MyPillow, Chanticleer Pizza, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, Frontiersman, mentioned the BS Show, 5% off a used gun. And our pals over at ColdOmaha.com, Schreier, he may come in today. That's because he said that he's a big Brian Miller, Jeff O'Brien, funny, and Kevin Cusick fan, too.
But how funny will it be if he makes a special trip over here
Like,
the one day that Brian happens to not be here?
That would be interesting.
It would be a tragedy.
Yeah, we're joined, speaking of tragedies. We'll get to that you last for that tragedy. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, as they call him at 11:30, business and leisure attorney when he gets modest. And, Brian Miller may be with us. Kevin Cusick, PioneerPressTwinCities.com, at the loop now. And now, now you're not despondent, but you're a Cubs fan who can face Corey Kluber in games 4 and 7.
Yeah, and
can you win 4 that he doesn't pitch in?
Cleveland had to win last night because if they lost with Kluber, the series was probably probably not even going back to Cleveland.
Chicago has to win game 2.
I would say that would be advised, but I don't think it's an absolute.
Well, if you see Kluber 2 more times, I'd say it is.
Yeah, Kluber looked good last night, but you know who didn't look great last night was Andrew Miller. Yeah, he was very touchable. The Cubs brought the tying run to the plate, both in the 7th and the 8th innings, and
Jeff,
fell short.
Did you watch the game?
A little bit, yeah.
Did you see the score?
Yeah.
I didn't see any runs for the Cubs. So Miller apparently worked things out.
He did. Literally. He'd get himself in jams and get out. But Cleveland is just playing great baseball. And they won 8 out of 9 games going into last night. And the series is now a complete toss-up. I thought the Cubs were slight favorites going in. But Cleveland had to win their first game at home with Corey Kluber on the mounds. They mission accomplished. And now we'll see. You know, the Cubs were in a position like this a week and a half ago in L.A. when they were down 2-1, coming off 2 shutouts in a row. And they turned that around. The big X factor, I've been ecstatic over the whole weekend, obviously, not only over what happened, but the return of Kyle Schwarber from his blown-out knee in April. And he looked actually pretty good. He did not look like last night at the plate like a guy who had not seen Major League pitching for 6 months. He had a double. He had one walk. I'm still optimistic, but make no mistake, Cleveland is an outstanding – they're a good team playing great, and they've been doing it for about the last 3 weeks.
I saw some stat about the team that wins game 1 of the World Series wins X percent of the time. But, you know, let's think. The Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs are both in the World Series. I think all bets are off on both sides, you know.
Well, and one thing, that if Cleveland were to win, they would break a 7 World Series – streak, where the team that came in the last one to get there out of the LCS, which would be the Cubs in this case, has won.
Because
they're the hot team.
They're playing right up
supposedly
to the, right up to the thing. Yeah, my favorite stat is still, you know, the Cubs 30 team major leagues. 1945, the last time the Cubs went to the World Series, there was only 32 professional sports teams major league. There was 16 Major League Baseball, 10 NFL. And 6 NHL. The NBA hadn't even started yet. That's literally how long ago it is.
Well, and if you go back to the last time they won the World Series, I think there was no NFL or NHL, and the Titanic was still being built.
The Titanic was in progress.
That's incredible.
But again, for me, I don't want to say the World Series was gravy, but the big thing was getting over the hump of getting to the World Series because of how many times they had stumbled, choked, whatever you want to call it, falling short of the World Series. That's why there was so emotion. I was at, I was outside the park Saturday night at, actually during the game, I was in Rocket Burger Bar, which is on the corner of Clark and Waveland. And there was 200 people outside waiting to get into the bar, which is futile once the game starts because the only people leaving the bar are the people with tickets across the street.
Yeah.
So, but after the game ended, my wife accused me of being weepy, but lots of people shedding tears or whatever, and then you go out into the street, and by that point, there was at least twice as many people outside the stadium and in Wrigleyville as were in the stadium. It was real. And then after the game ended, there was probably 250,000 people in the Wrigleyville neighborhood, many of them concentrated behind the stadium back where Fox had their stage set up for the post game, where the Chicagoans, young and old, all worked on their best A-Rod sucks chants. But it was quite a night. And whatever happens in the World Series, it was still a great year. And I think the World Series at this point is a toss-up, but it's a toss-up mostly because of how good Cleveland is playing.
Did you know, by the way, if obviously as a Cubs fan and people who aren't even Cub fans, they've heard of the curse of the Billy Goat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, two things about that. One, this happened in 1945 when they were in the World Series,
yeah,
the Cubs. He brought his goat.
Against Detroit.
And people thought it smelled, and they made him leave.
Yeah,
and
he tried to bring a goat into a stadium.
Them Cubs, they ain't going to win no more. Well, let's put it this way. It was almost 40 years that they hadn't won since the last time they won the World Series. So it's not like, what was the curse then?
They've lost 7 World Series in a row. That's the amazing thing. People, they don't think of the Cubs being in the World Series, but they have a 7-series losing streak. Now, those Cubs teams lost to some of the greatest teams in history. The Yankees of the 30s, the old Philadelphia Athletics, some great teams. The last pitcher, by the way, before Kluber, to shut out the Cubs in the postseason?
Babe Ruth.
1918 World Series.
The way you were sticking your finger back and forth, I figured it'd have to be one like that. But
you didn't have a guess B.
Here is my here's what's interesting, though, and I will say this. They clinched to go to the World Series on the 46th anniversary of the death of Billy Sienas. Is that how you say his name? You should know this.
I think it's Sienna.
He was the goat owner from the Billy Goat Tavern. Just a little tidbit. But again, they were lousy, or they weren't winning, depending on, despite who they had played in the World Series. They hadn't won it since 08, and that was 45. So it's a long tradition of not winning World Series for this.
If you're a Cubs fan, the thing you want to be most concerned about now is which Jake Arrieta shows up tonight. Which, at last I heard, the game was they hadn't moved back the game again. They moved it back to 6 o'clock our time because of a storm coming in. Jake Arrieta has not been the same pitcher since the end of last year, where he was the best pitcher in baseball, Cy Young. He has to give him a good game tonight, because if they fall behind 2-0 to this Cleveland team, they're in big trouble.
I'd say that'd be – yes, they absolutely would be.
It's a math thing.
Well – now, the Kluber, has he pitched in the postseason where he's come back on a few days' rest?
Not on the short rest. They haven't had to this year.
Yeah, because that's right. He hasn't had to.
But he's a top-notch pitcher. When did he win? He won the Cy Young like two years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now let me ask let's switch gears here for a moment. To
Please do.
Oh, okie dokie. Well, let me ask, but did either one of you see? I watched it this morning. I didn't see it last night. This Megyn Kelly versus.
I watched it this morning.
Newt Gingrich. Did you see it?
I think it was flipping channels between the series and stopped for a minute and then backed out. I've heard about it. I didn't really.
Sam, did you guys talk about it this morning?
I completely zoned out. Did not hear what you said.
Newt and Megyn.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we did play audio from
that. I can't imagine they didn't play.
Is there a short
like
clip?
2 seconds.
Is the key clip the one about?
I mean, I can skip
see
to
if
the
you can
end.
Find it. Okay, I'll just give people. She was. I've always liked Megyn Kelly. And not because some people think you like her, she's easy on the eyes. But I think she does a good job. I thought she was good with Donna Brazil. Mm-hmm. But there are times when she's just so full of herself. What I really don't like is when she's interviewing someone. And I do think that Newt Gingrich has gained gotten to the point where he should have the respect of being allowed to finish a sentence, which she didn't let him do multiple times. She just kept cutting him off.
I have a 2-minute clip. I have not pre-listened to it, but I assume that it's a highlight. So would you like to play
it? Well, play it. It's worth hearing.
Yeah. My point to you is, as a media story, we don't get to say the 10 women are lying. Oh. We have to cover that story, sir.
Sure. Okay, so it's worth 23 minutes of the three networks to cover that story, and Hillary Clinton in a secret speech in Brazil to a bank that pays her $225,000, saying her dream is an open border where 600 million people could come to America. That's not worth covering.
That is worth covering.
When you
want to
go back through the tapes of your show recently, you are fascinated with sex and you don't care about public policy.
That's the money line.
Now, that's what I get out of watching you tonight.
You know what? Mr. Speaker, I'm not fascinated by sex, but I am fascinated by the protection of women and understanding what we're getting in the Oval Office. And I think the American voters would like
and
to know.
And therefore, we're going to send Bill Clinton back to the East Wing because, after all, you are worried about sexual predators.
Yeah, listen, it's not about me. It's about the women and men of America. And the poll numbers show us that the women of America in particular are very concerned about these allegations and in large part believe that they are a real issue. And
you want to
do
you want to comment on whether the Clinton ticket has a relationship to a sexual predator?
We on the Kelly File have covered that story as well, sir. I will tell you the
polls. I just want to hear you use the words. I want to hear your words. Bill Clinton, sexual predator. I dare you. Say Bill Clinton, sexual predator.
Mr. Speaker,
disbarred by the Arkansas bar. Disbarred by the Arkansas bar. $850,000 penalty.
Excuse me, sir. We on the Kelly File have covered the Clinton matter as well. We've hosted Kathleen Willey. We've covered the examples of him being accused as well, but he's not on the ticket. And the polls also show that
the
American public is less interested in the deeds of Hillary Clinton's husband than they are in the deeds of the man who asks us to make him president, Donald Trump. We're going to have to leave it at that.
You can leave it at that, Sam. You know, the thing that's amazing to me is,
you cut off her best line. At the end, she goes, you can be back again after you work on your anger issues.
He didn't know that, because the one I listened to didn't have that.
Oh, she gave the parting shot. It was the last word was, you can work on your anger issues.
Did he respond to that?
No, thanks for being
and
here.
You too.
Oh, this clip cut it off. They didn't include that. I don't know why.
Well, the problem, here's the talking point that I hear from a lot of people. He's not running for No, but his wife is, and she, based on everything people have heard, she enabled and also tried to destroy the women
that's
who made these accusations.
That's the biggest point.
Sure.
And that's where I think that some of the Trump surrogates missed the mark. You don't just keep bringing up Bill Clinton and what he did. We all know what Bill Clinton did. It's what Hillary Clinton did in response, knowing that the man was guilty of doing some of those things. What she did to
going back
make
three
those
decades.
Women's lives a living hell.
Protect the brand.
Yeah, and for her to go out there and to, I mean, I don't know about, you know, these allegations against Trump. You know, I don't know about the truth or the falsity of them. But to go out there as if she's standing up for womankind when she has been just, you know, vitriolic towards these women that accused her husband, I think that's where they're missing the mark. Is that it's hypocrisy. She says one thing and she does another.
Well, and the other, and I really like Michelle Obama, and I said in the first term of Barack Obama, I thought that she would wind up running. If she ran, she would be up by 20 to 30 points, because I think the country loves her. I'm not crazy about. Is I think she's ruined Happy Meals by sticking those little apple wedges in instead of candy or cookies. Sam, you were not subjected to that as a child because you actually got the cookies.
I don't mind apple wedges. The worst thing is
what about a cookie?
The worst thing is what she's done to school lunches.
I'm allergic to apple skins. Theoretically, it could be fatal.
There you go.
Michelle Obama's trying to kill Kevin.
Well, the one thing I am disappointed
luckily, there's not a chance of me settling for a Happy Meal at any stop at a McDonald's.
She laid into Trump. And I got to make clear, I'm not a Trump fan or supporter. If people said who you're voting for, I my answer, and this is how I feel, at the moment – I will. I have not fully committed, but at the moment, I will vote for Mike Pence and whoever's on the ticket with him. Because I have, I cannot.
None of your beeswax.
Well, I can't vote. I know that, but I'm just.
Silly answer.
I don't like Hillary. I don't like Trump. This is a terrible. And I won't. To me, voting for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or one of the other ones is wasting a vote.
Mike Pence is the one who speaks to your heart.
Of the four, and I'm including Kane, yeah, I like him better than the other ones. Poor Tim Kaine, he had 30 people show up in West Palm Beach when 20,000 showed up in Tampa for Trump. But
that's awesome.
But the thing about Michelle Obama, she tore into Donald Trump about the locker room, what he called locker room remarks. I can't stop thinking about this, she said. It has shaken me to my core in a way I could not have predicted. The problem with that is, they have hosted Michelle and Barack Obama at the White House and promoted rap artists who glorify misogyny, the objectification of women, and even date rape. So those words are hollow. How does she make a separation that it's okay if it's a rapper, but not okay if it's someone running against her party?
Because she's never asked about it.
Yeah, no one. Well,
when was the last time Michelle Obama took questions?
She never
takes questions.
I will
say
this.
It's very easy to maintain this perfect persona when you're never asked any tough questions whatsoever.
I loved her on Colbert, though. Or Colbert. Stephen Colbert. I put the T in there. Did you see the thing where they were like having a sleepover, her and him?
No.
Sam, did you see it?
No,
they're like they were like little kids in the bedroom,
more
but I thought it was funny.
Skits of politicians cozying up.
She's not
late night host.
She's a wife of politicians. I still like her.
The really interesting thing about this election, and it's kind of it's good and bad. The bad part about it is, we have our Obamacare melting down.
As we speak,
all over the place,
and everyone's finding out about it now.
And
well, we knew about it at the beginning of October. We knew long before we were going to get crushed.
And
here,
we're focused on these two personalities at the top of the ticket, rather than having a discussion as to what should be done to fix it and who should be the one in charge of fixing it. Should the party that did it on their own have any role in fixing it, or should they, maybe sit this one out and let the other side clean up the mess?
Well, I think it should go state. Let the states take care of it.
I absolutely agree. They should have never federalized it in the first place. That goes back to the last election when Mitt Romney ran. He never made a cogent argument over the because they basically took the Romney Care system out of Massachusetts. He never got up there and said, yes, we created it. It works in Massachusetts. You can't take it and translate that to a national scale and expect it to work.
Here's the only mandate that the state should be given. Everyone has to be covered. No pre-existing conditions get ignored or exempted. Everyone has to be covered. And then let the states figure it out themselves.
But there has to be a reasonable definition of pre-existing conditions, because you can't have everyone going uninsured until they get in a car accident.
But what I'm saying is you should be insured, and you should be able to, get it. We have, I don't know what the number is, but we have people that are MinSure before Obamacare were insured, and it didn't cost them anything. Mm-hmm. We've had insurance for people who are not making a great deal of money for years, and it was working in this state. And I have a personal axe to grind about it, because I have seven members of my family. I'm paying almost $1,900 a month now. It's going to go up to just shy of $3,000.
And with a ton of deductibles, I'm betting.
Oh, yeah. This is not like, it's not like, hey, you've just met everything. And,
and the other interesting thing about this election is, let's assume that if we all believe that Hillary Clinton's going to be elected, what is her mandate? That she's less disliked than Donald Trump?
Because I guarantee you the final result's not going to look anything like the current polls.
I mean, if
the current polls are going to get tighter toward the end, as these pollsters are more interested in accuracy than
I think we're going to have – this will – and I could be completely wrong. I was wrong about the Vikings winning last week. But I think there will be a Reagan-esque outcome. I don't know that there will be a landslide, but there are so many people who will not admit – that they will vote for Trump when they're polled. It happened in 1980.
Or just refuse to answer pollsters, which is the Brexit. Well,
okay, but here's the thing, too.
Scenario.
The ABC poll where it was 12%, she has a 12% lead, Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. Only 27% of them polled were Republicans. And somebody gave a breakdown last night. I was listening about it, and I don't know if it was radio or TV, claimed that the question was not who would you vote for, who do you think is going to win? Now, that changes everything. Mm-hmm. If someone is asked, who do you think is going to win, and she has a 12% lead because people say they think that it will be her. The one that has always been, in the last three elections, the IBD tip poll has been the most accurate because it's a rolling. Yeah, it's a rolling average. Every day they updated. She was up. Well, yesterday she was up by one, and today
she's up by two right now.
She's up by two.
I think so. Well, she's at 42%. He's at 41%. So she's not.
It's up by one. So it hasn't changed.
I think that's more realistic to where the race is as opposed to the silly polls that are grossly oversampling. There was one poll in Florida that had that overstated the it was 15% black in the poll sample when Florida's 10% black or something like that. Just grossly oversampling, and we saw in WikiLeaks that the Clinton administration was working with pollsters to lobby to get these kind of poll results. So you have their own in their own writing them working to skew the polls. But last couple of weeks, that's all going to change because they all want to be correct.
We're talking about the national polls. I mean, there's a lot. I've heard a lot of comparisons about Brexit, but Brexit was a national vote. Mm-hmm. It was a popular vote. This is we still have the Electoral College, and I haven't seen. I mean, maybe unless all the state polls are skewed, I haven't seen mathematics on the Electoral College where Trump wins it. I mean, she has her states that are safe.
She pulled ahead with the crotch grabbing weekend, mm-hmm. and has had an Electoral College. It was about tied with a bunch of undecided states up until that weekend.
Yeah, time's flying here. I just realized we need to take a quick break, and we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit more about this. I want to talk about the Vikings with you guys, too, and there's so much damn election stuff to talk about. But we'll take a quick break, come right back, and we'll get Kelly. We have Kelly on a little bit later, Kelly in Vegas, and Ruth Lord, and we'll be right back. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring. And they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Are you looking to buy your first home? Are you looking to buy your third home? The Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, with offices in Edina and Stillwater, is able to help you no matter what your situation. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com, or call 952-841-9300. That's 952-841-9300, and contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951. We are back. Sam's here. Kevin Cusick, PioneerPressPoints.com, at The Loop Now on Twitter. Jeff O'Brien. Jeff, where can they... Well, at Jeff O'Brien on Twitter, you link to your... you link every week, right? How many times a week do you write?
Not every week. I link to a bunch of junk every week.
No, but you also you link to your.
If I do a blog post, yeah. But I mean, I link to everything. Like if I've got articles I'm writing or other stuff I'm talking about or presentations and stuff, I'll throw it all up there. So yeah, go to my Twitter account at Jeff O'Brien and
with an IEN.
IEN, and you'll track it back to my other stuff.
I'd mentioned we were talking off the air about the Vikings, and they did get their ass kicked. Certainly the offense did. But as we were talking, the only other team on their schedule that has a defense comparable to Philadelphia's is Arizona's, and they get Arizona at home. And I said it on the KQ Morning Show. I said it on this show on Monday. I blame Norv Turner for not reacting. They've done a great job as a staff at halftime of making adjustments. He never adjusted to the onslaught. He never really went with the two tight ends. And I also said, I'll get both of your thoughts on this, I would be ready with a two tight end, and I'd have two packages. One of them, I would put Cordero Patterson opposite Kyle Rudolph just to brush the defensive end, slow him down a bit, and then he becomes a receiver. And if that doesn't work, then I'd be ready to throw in Jake Long as the tight end to get some real beef there. And that poor guy, he's been a Pro Bowler in the past. He hasn't played in a year.
Yeah, he was terrible.
I mean, but he practiced once and didn't play in a year, and they're expecting
what out
of that? He's been
banged up. He's a shadow of his former self.
Well, I don't think he can get to what he once was, but he could be better than he was and better than what they have if he has some time to work at it. Or to get some more time in. So I don't think they're going to have any trouble in Chicago. You were mentioning Kevin with Cutler. You don't know what you know.
There's an X factor there. Otherwise, I mean, if it was still Hoyer, easily you would assume the Vikings would still win that game because the Bears don't have a defense that would any way, shape, or form make the Vikings offense look like it did Sunday.
Well, let me ask you this question: even if it's Cutler, he would rank no better than what, the fourth or fifth best quarterback they've already seen. Mm-hmm. It's not better than Rodgers, not better than Eli, not better than Newton. I don't know that he's better than Carson Wentz. You have to say that he had,
I think
he,
the spread now is 6, and that's a comfortable Viking pick because I think it's going to be closer to a 10-point
game. I mean,
game.
Even Wentz had a decent game, but compared to his, some of his previous outings, the Vikings did limit him compared to what other
defense. Impressed me is he didn't fold.
Well, I think, the Vikings, sometimes you just have that bad game. Last season it was that first game in San Francisco, and these guys, they're young. They have everybody's talking about them. They do have a tendency to read their own press, and every once in a while they need to get their asses kicked to be brought back down to reality. And I think this was good to happen now at this time of the season, to realize that they're not going to be handed it. They have to fight.
They were undefeated. They were not infallible.
I mean, Marcus Sherrill's muffs a punt. How many times has Marcus Sherrill's
muffed? Well, and Adam Thielen dropped a pass. You don't see that either.
It was a sloppy game all around, playing in Philadelphia is the wrong venue to have a sloppy game. You're going to get burned.
And the thing is, though, what you just said. I guess we always say that when a team loses, that you don't expect to. That they better learn from it, and they better take something out of that loss to make things better. Because I don't think it's going to be a problem. The two toughest teams they have on their schedule before Christmas Eve in Green Bay is Arizona and Dallas, and they get them both at home.
Dallas,
Arizona.
Don't overlook Detroit. Detroit is an improved team.
They are an improved team, but I also think that this defense can get to Stafford. Now, they have to also, and they also have to make sure.
Stafford's almost a different quarterback this year because now he's got multiple guys to throw
to. He doesn't have
to
just go to
the Megatron crutch.
Well, I still think that they can handle and will handle Detroit, even on the road.
And Detroit overcame last week the horrific incident where the Redskins coach was caught urinating on the sidelines, thinking he was in a secluded area. It turned out there was a bunch of Lions fans with cell phone cameras.
You got to go. You got to go. I don't know why they don't put a Biffy on the field. Because these guys.
Yeah, I mean, and this is where the dirty little secrets of the NFL is how often this goes on in the sidelines. The guys shield themselves or whatever. And this guy just was oblivious to where he was standing.
How is it possible, though, to shield yourself on an NFL sideline? No matter what you try to do.
Because they've all these giant cabinets and stuff like that. So the funny thing about this is, did this guy just relieve himself on the floor of Ford Field? No. He used a Gatorade cup.
Oh, Gatorade must love that.
You can't pay for advertising like that.
You know, if we had him on here, he probably wouldn't tell it. He'd probably be too bashful to tell it. But Tommy told me a story one time. I think it was 81 or something. They're out in San Diego.
Tommy Kramer?
Yeah, playing at Jack Murphy Stadium. He said his brothers had come out for the game. They were out drinking beers the night before, and he's in the game, and he's got to go. And he said he walked over to the sideline. He walked over to Buddy. Goes, it was Steve Dills was the backup at the time. He goes, got to put Dillsy in. I got to go. And he ran up the tunnel at Jack Murphy, and a security guard shielded him, and he did his business.
Ran back.
Back in the game.
Well, I'll tell you what. You don't want to do is get hit and you pee your pants.
No.
Which certainly could happen. But why not? What's the big deal if they did have a little biffy on the field or off the field to the side where guys have to go, they got to go.
Well, I know one issue of that would be visibility in terms of the fans. It would block some seats.
But look at it this way. They could sell some advertising on it, too.
To me, it's preferable than having guys, whipping it out on the 40-yard line.
Of course, now with the new stadium, you can just run into the bar. You just use them.
You can hop over the side.
Head into the men's room.
Mark
in the bar.
Schlereth, former, who's now with ESPN, former lineman with the Redskins and Broncos, won like 3 Super Bowls, openly has talked about peeing on the field in huddles during timeouts.
Oh, I'm sure we know that's happened. It happened in the Super Bowl. Didn't it happen with the?
Might have.
I thought it was Romanowski talked about it, or he did it.
Yeah.
When he was with the 49ers.
It's just not a pleasant conversation, but I don't know that I could see them having a porta potty out of sight, like on the ramp going to the locker room, so they don't have to go all the way to the locker rooms and go like past the snack bar.
Well, that's
and stuff
fine,
like
but have it
stage.
Somewhere so they don't have to run up to
but
the locker room.
But they can't have it on the sideline because it would block some fans.
And now a lot of these stadiums have they've got that indoor outdoor carpeting going up the ramp. Well, you don't want them peeing on that.
No, those tire, those sneaker particles and stuff.
No, you got to have a biffy for them somewhere.
Yeah,
but you're right. At the new stadium, they've got. Basically, all along the Viking sideline, they have, what are they, got to be 15 feet wide or 20 feet wide? Mm-hmm. They're like little box seats, like the boxes.
Suite, so just it's like if someone shows up at your front door house, do you mind if I use the lavatory, madam?
Yeah.
Come on in! What else you need?
And then it'll all be with the cell phones. It'll be a great deal. You might actually charge more.
Exactly.
There might be a premium you charge if a player deigns to use your facility.
I like it. And you...
That's my next million-dollar idea.
Has Gatorade come out with a comment on this, by the way?
No. See, they weren't as quick as... Remember Tic Tacs came out with the thing about... with Trump or whatever about the... On the Billy Bush tape? And Tic Tac immediately sent out a tweet saying, we support women, blah, blah, blah. Gatorade has stayed several miles from the Redskins coach.
Well, I will say this. They have one that it does look a lot like urine. The color of it when you every time I go by. Oh.
And when you have it at room temperature.
That could be a problem.
Yes.
All right, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with Kelly in Vegas, get her thoughts on the Vikings and many other things going on. And also Dale Hiley, the owner of Chanticleer Pizza, he has his picks for her to go through. You know what, Sam? Let me talk about Chanticleer Pizza for a minute, and then we'll get a few more and get Kelly on. Chanticleer Pizza—it's a great pizza, and if you like great pizza, you will love Chanticleer Pizza. Chanticleer has been in business for more than 50 years, and you don't last that long in any business unless you're giving people what they want. Chanticleer will deliver every time. Chanticleer features thin crust, New York style hand toss, and pan pizza. 11 Twin Cities locations with delivery and takeout. In Coon Rapids and Maple Grove, you'll find the Chanticleer Pizza Grill, full bar restaurant, full menu, burgers, salads, pastas, pizza, and much more. Great game day specials on Sundays during the football season. Chanticleer is your game day delivery expert during the football season. Chanticleer restaurants are independently owned and operated. For more information, go to chanticleerpizza.com. That's ChanticleerPizza.com. Chanticleer Pizza, the clear choice for all pizza lovers. Be right back.
Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847. Or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. I'm back. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the Loop Now. Lawyer extraordinaire, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, and brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. We are joined by Kelly in Vegas. Kelly, did you have a good week?
I had an okay week. I had a couple of games that really went the wrong way, namely the Vikings. That was pretty brutal. But, again, I knew better than betting them as road chalk. We talked about it last week, so... just one of those things where I just got to bite the bullet and move on to this week.
Well, I want to start because Dale sent me. Dale had he'd lost both his picks last week. Combined total of 27 points in both games. 6-6 Seattle and Arizona, the tie, and Colorado beat Stanford 10-5. This week he said that he's bouncing back because he knows Dallas will beat Philly by more than a touchdown. This isn't about Philly, but about Dallas being hot right now. It'll be the last time to get them relatively cheap, is what he said. And he said in college, a little less confident because I'm going against the red hot or the hot hand, but Michigan State being a 24-point dog at home in a rivalry game, no way he's taking MSU in the 24. What do you think of Dallas beating Philly and taking Michigan State in the 24?
God, I really, really, really want to bet Philly in this game. And it has nothing to do with last week. It has everything to do with Dallas at home. It has everything to do with how hot Dallas is, and I tend to be the contrarian, and sometimes it's great and sometimes it's bad. I've bet against Dallas entirely too many times this season, so I will not be pulling the trigger on Philly. Jason Garrett is 9-24 against the spread.
Wow.
As a home favorite in Dallas. I know everybody loves Dak. Everybody loves Ezekiel. I have so many friends in Dallas that tell me that those guys are out partying, living it up. So happy for those guys, but I just cannot back the Cowboys here. I think Philly really needs this win, more importantly. But I think Dallas tends to lose focus for whatever reason in home games, and they've done it for the last – I mean, I've been following NFL entirely too long, but long enough that I can remember the last four or five games I went to in Cowboys Stadium, new and old – and I believe they were 0-5 in the games I've been to. It's just they're just not good in Dallas.
They're coming off a bye week, and if your sources are correct, and they've been enjoying themselves, during this time. They could come out a little flat.
Did they reopen the White House out there?
The White House.
You know, I have like three or four different buddies that own a handful of bars, plus then they know everybody else out there. And when they were out here a couple weeks ago, they couldn't wait to tell me how these guys are just basically like local celebrities, obviously, for the Dallas Cowboys fans. And so they're young guys. They're going to rebound faster than some of the old guys if they go out partying. But I'd like to hope they're not partying on, you know, Saturday night per se.
That will change real quick if they lose a game and Jerry Jones finds out it's because of that. Now, what about Michigan State? Do you like that?
God, you know what? It is entirely too many points for a rivalry game, but Michigan State has been so bad this season. And, you know, as we've talked about with Harbaugh in the past, Harbaugh has to make statements here. I don't know what is in his being, but he has made incredible statements this year against several teams where I didn't think that they would. I played Colorado against them. Colorado came out, looked great in the first half. Whatever Justin Simi had at half, I was worried about the 28-point cover after, you know, they were up at halftime. I mean, he makes it's tough for me because they have failed to cover their last eight versus Michigan State. Something's got to give here. You're going into East Lansing. It's tough. I really wish that I had a better answer for Dale, but it's one of those games where I'm like, I don't know if I can touch this. I think Michigan State is the number three team in the country. They deserve to be there. They may even be the number two team, depending on who you talk to here in Vegas with their power rankings. No, I'm not going to lay the big chalk with them, but I don't know if I can back Michigan State here. This is a chance for Michigan to, you know, just put one on their in-state rival.
I was just in East Lansing for the Northwestern game and saw my Cats put 54 points on Michigan State in a 40-minute span. The Michigan State defense is horrible, and I think the revenge factor of this game after the way Michigan State beat them on the block punt on the last play last year. This is if Harbaugh can put a 78 on Michigan State like they did on Rutgers, he will.
I absolutely agree, and that's, you know, you can take that into account with the spread. I've talked to a couple different of my buddies out here that are really good at power rankings. We've talked about how this game should probably be 17. And we're looking at almost another touchdown higher. And even if you include revenge and all these things in that factor, the number's still too high. I'm just too big of a wuss to bet against Harbaugh, who, like I said, is trying to make a statement and has revenge.
Well, then I think you and Dale are at odds on this one, which is fine.
I'm not mad at him at all for taking – he's got a lot of value with Michigan State. We'll call it that. And I think Michigan State will step up better than they did last week. Man, it's just – it's tough. I don't know if they have it in them.
Well, now, the one I really want to talk to you about is the Vikings. Do you see them bouncing back and covering?
This is the thing with the Vikings. Line's up to 6 now. I only got to watch the first half of the game. I had some prior engagements on Sunday where I didn't have a lot invested in NFL last Sunday, so I didn't really care to watch that many of the games. And so I watched the first half of the morning games. And I was following the Vikings game on my phone. And it started to get ugly, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to turn this off. Because it really pissed me off, especially right there out of, you know, the first quarter. There was so many turnovers and so many areas to capitalize. I don't really know if that was just a fluky thing for Bradford or if that's the Bradford we're going to start seeing
more of. Not Bradford. It's the line. He was not on, but the line is abysmal.
Well, right. You guys have some banged-up guys on the O-line, and that sucks. But, you know, then I'm looking at this game going, okay, Jay Cutler's going to be back. He's not an upgrade from Brian Hoyer.
No.
We know that Coach Zimmer is great. He's great at making adjustments. He has some of the best coaching staff in the league. I think what it is, though, now that what we're seeing is maybe that Eagles game should have been more, like I've said to you last week, should have been more of maybe Vikings -1, even pick 'em. But we saw -2.5, knowing people would still bite. Now we're seeing Minnesota -6 at Chicago, where the game should probably be 3.5. It depends on who you talk to. And it's 6. The books are tired of taking a beating in Vegas. So for me, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to watch this game. Hope you guys can get back on track against a divisional opponent and move along to next week. You know, you have some other great games on deck. I believe you guys play the Redskins after that.
Yep.
So, you know, there's going to be some other games where you can find value in the Vikings, and I just don't think this is one of them. Do I think you guys bounce back? Yeah, I made the game 27-10. I mean,
that's a bounce back.
It screams hammer Minnesota, but man, it's tough.
I just don't see how the Bears. I don't see how the Bears score very many points.
Correct,
and that's where, you know, if the Bears aren't going to get much past double figures, then the Vikings are pretty easily to cover.
Right, and so we're looking at that, and we're looking at maybe even the under something. If it gets to Minnesota -6.5, I may tease Minnesota in the under, which is just what I did with the Broncos on Monday night, which you didn't need, but it was nice not to have to sweat a game. I got to enjoy my Broncos team, you know, play an overall great game against, you know, a former teammate, and it was no sweat. Everybody else I knew was sweating the under. Everybody else I knew was sweating the Broncos cover, and I was just sitting on the couch enjoying myself.
It's a nice feeling. Kelly, I know you have a few things to do, so I really appreciate it. Thank you. This segment with Kelly in Vegas brought to you by Chanticleer Pizza. Greatly appreciate it. I hope you have a killer week.
That's the plan. Also, we didn't get a chance to talk about your Gophers.
No, we also didn't get, and I apologize for this. I want to hear about the Gophers, but first, I want to let people know how to get in touch with you. At Kelly in Vegas on Twitter, kellyinvegas.com, where you can find out, you can join her, you can basically sign up for your picks on your website, and you could do it that way. You also on the Journal Review, right? You're at CBSSportsLine.com.
And yep. And Vegas Insider is where you can get all my individual plays. So if you go on VegasInsider.com and you're looking through, there's tons of different handicappers on there to choose from. But let's say I have a play on Michigan State, for example, and that's a game you're really looking for some insight on. You can purchase individual games on Vegas Insider. That's what's so great about it. From different handicappers, you can also join their site and get member plays for free.
And that's terrific, and we appreciate that. But tell me about the Gophers. I was remiss in not asking about the mighty Gophers.
I don't blame you. After last week's performance, I wouldn't want to talk about them either. I actually watched the first half of that game, and, you know, the first quarter looked great, up 21-3, and everybody was happy. And then I'm flipping back and forth between other games, and every time I flip back, I'm going, wow, Rutgers scored? Okay, that's not good, you know, and you guys had to win by a late field goal. Never a good thing, but I will say this week is a bounce-back week for you guys over the line. You guys are 11-3 against the spread in the series. You obviously need the win to be bowl eligible. There's a couple other factors to look into, but Illinois is – they're just two teams going in different directions. I think the Rutgers game was a fluky game last week. I'm not rushing to back you guys -10, but I do think this should be a nice bounce-back week for the Gophers.
Well, we'll see. I'm not a big Gopher guy. But Kelly in Vegas, thank you. At Kelly in Vegas on Twitter, kellyinvegas.com. Kelly, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
See you.
Right. Actually, we're going to get to Ruth Lorden. But I want to ask both of you when we return, is it up to five players now that there's restraining orders on?
Yep, five. So one was released. One was rescinded on Monday.
And I am in no way suggesting there's not merit, but might we see, imagine if you're a gambler, you pay someone a good number of amount of money to get a restraining order on NFL, any players, that they can't go into the stadium. I mean, I want to ask both of you if you think that this could be the start of something, and I'm not saying...
Can Jake Long get a restraining order from people going around his left side?
That's a great point. When we come back, we'll discuss that. We'll be right back. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install
install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. We're back. Bob Sansevier, Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com at the Loop now. Trying to get a little NPR-ish. Business and Leisure Attorney, Jeff O'Brien.
Tell us all about it.
That's, you know, a lot going on. Politics, baseball, things like that. No, what I wanted to ask both of you about is five Gophers have restraining orders, and it's by the same woman, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she claims that she was... assaulted by them?
The allegation was she was alleging that there were four players originally involved with a sexual assault that occurred on September 2nd. The Hennepin County attorney came out and said that he wasn't going to be filing charges because there wasn't, as he called it, sufficient admissible evidence to file charges against them. So they aren't going to be charged with any crime. And I read somewhere that there may have been some story that they may have been recorded. So that's why I think maybe the fifth one or the sixth one came into it. But what happens is this woman works at TCF Bank Stadium. So she filed for what's called a harassment restraining order. And you can get these. You can go ex parte in front of the judge, meaning without notice to the other party. So she went in and got restraining orders against these players. They were served notice with them. And then after the fact, they can ask, it's their right to have a hearing on whether or not the order should stay in place. So I've had to deal with these in my practice. A lot of times you see I've had dealing with, you know, I had a client who, an employer, former employer, fired the person and obtained one right away. You've done it with neighbor disputes. I've had a look at one. I've got a ne'er-do-well next-door neighbor that's done some shenanigans over the years, and I looked into doing one to protect my wife. And so I know of this area, and it's a very powerful thing. This is really kind of a fluke that you happen to have the alleged victim happens to work at the stadium where players play.
But see, and that's where I was getting at before, not separated from the Gophers. I mean, we just talked to Kelly in Vegas. If you are a gambler... Okay, what if somebody working at stadium in Cleveland before Game 4, Corey Kluber, you no idea what he scares me, what he's done to me. I mean, this it potentially could happen. What I wonder is,
And I'm glad that you do have background in this, Jeff. Why? And I'm in, again, I'm in no way passing judgment on and not trying to be supportive of this woman. But why couldn't the court mandate that it is up to the university to hire a security guard to walk in each player and to have one with her for a period of time until they're in the stadium?
That's what's coming, Bob. So the way this works under Minnesota law is there's a statute that sets forth in these instances you can obtain one. Domestic abuse is another situation where you can obtain one of these orders. And you swear out, you do file a petition, you're under oath, and you swear out the facts, and that's how, you know, then the judge makes a determination that you're entitled to the order. And so what the next phase is going to be here is the university coming in and asking for the orders to either be rescinded or modified to exclude the stadium based on the safety provisions and supervision that's in place at the stadium. So what I heard yesterday is that Mark Coyle, the athletic director, was in the court ready to – he was going to give testimony as to those procedures when the judge says, no, you haven't met the 5-day waiting period under the statute. We can't have the hearing today. We have to wait. So that's why this hearing was kicked to, after, I think next week. It'll happen before the next home game against
Purdue. I
think
it's the third, they said.
Yeah,
it should be what,
right.
Thursday?
Right. So, but that's what the university is going to testify to, is that there are adequate procedures in place.
It was four players that the accusation was, but it's five that are...
Five that have the order against... It was six at one point, and then on Monday, the alleged victim, rescinded the order against one of them, saying that that player actually wasn't involved. And then there's five left. Now, I had heard, because the attorney that's representing the players, Lee Hutton, is a friend of mine and a former colleague of mine, and what I had heard in the press was that... she was willing to modify the order, but only at her apartment. It's okay for them to come to her apartment, be within a certain radius of her apartment, but not the stadium. And that, so he was kind of saying, "This sounds
outrageous.
This sounds malicious. That this has been done solely to keep them out of playing." Now, to be honest, my understanding is, I think Ray Buford is one of the guys that's subject to it, and he's he's a starter, but the rest of them aren't. Necessarily, these aren't your top line guys, but still, it's.
Well, I'm thinking of the bigger. I mean, you could do it before, like I said, it could be a World Series. It could be any type
but
of an event or game.
Every state has their statute. You have to have the grounds to go in.
But in this state, in this state, if you decided you wanted to try to prevent, because it's not hard. Now, Sam, Ruth was not available.
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure she wasn't on hold.
No.
But in this state, I'm told it's not hard to get a restraining order.
It depends on the circumstances. I've had some that have been that, Hennepin County. I think it's easier to get them than others. I mean, no judge wants to have find out that they were the one that could have signed an order to protect somebody who later ends up victimized by a crime.
How often do you hear of cases where they're frivolous? And they're not the merit.
Oh, no,
there.
No, they're not typically frivolous. I mean, you're swearing under oath that the facts you have meet the.
And I want to make this completely separate. I am in no way talking about the woman who made the accusation against the Gophers, but there are people who, I mean, there are people that have mental issues. I mean, I wonder if that happens very often, where you do swear something out that never did happen. That's a lot on the other person.
Yeah.
And again, this has nothing to do with that. I'm just the whole idea of a restraining order.
But yeah, they are. I mean, if you meet it all depends, I guess, on the judge that's hearing the signing judge that's hearing the order. I mean, the guy that's been a guest on your show, Michael Broadcorp, you've had him on talking about
he's had to deal with a restraining order.
Yeah. So the woman that is charged with kidnapping or facilitating the kidnapping gets a restraining order against him, so he can't be in the courtroom as a journalist to report the story.
That one I don't understand, because how was he? Yeah. And then he never threatened her, or was in danger to her.
No. So you're right. And sometimes it's just like, you know, I've filed for injunctions and restraining orders in business cases before, and a lot of times it is the luck of the draw with the judge. If you get the judge that doesn't want to read the stack of stuff, and it's Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you might
get
your
order.
You know, so I think it does depend. This one, I don't know, but I think that ultimately it'll be modified before the Purdue game to have these guys, be able to play. Because again, they haven't been charged with anything, and the county attorney says they aren't going to be charged with anything.
Well, this is we'll keep an eye on it. By the way, we are joined now by psychic Ruth Lord. Ruth, is everything good?
Oh yeah.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. You know, let's. I was going to ask you again. There's the IBD, the Investors Business Journal, and the TIP. I forget what the TIP stands for. Kevin, do you know?
It's Investors Business Daily.
Daily, excuse me. What did
TIP,
I say?
TIP, I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea.
I read it, but I forgot. But anyway, Ruth is our rolling average day to day. Who do you see winning today? Or who do you see things moving in Trump's way? Because I heard there's a record number of people doing early voting. And after Tim Kaine got 30 people at his rally, it's hard to believe the enthusiasm is for him and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no, I still feel a lot of power and energy going towards Trump. I mean, the pendulum is just swinging. The swinging towards Trump. That doesn't mean he wins. That doesn't mean the voting is fair, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he's still got some of the underdog energy going his way.
Interesting. All right, how about the vibe of the day? Is that going our way?
Yeah, it's getting better.
Good.
And we are too.
Good.
It's an up day for life, living beings, and teamwork. Positive changes are approved, upper level, who'da thunk it. Time for a great time tonight. Please share. It's going to be a great day, kind of what that means. Lots of good things are going, and the big one, whether you want to call it the man upstairs or your CEO, things are rolling in our favor.
That would be great, because today was not a great morning. Sam doesn't even know about I spent the morning in the emergency room with your mother.
I do know,
and then
actually.
Oh, you do, and then we went to the ophthalmologist. I don't think she post it.
She did post a photo.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I did suggest, and perhaps you can stop on your way home. It's time for protective goggles.
I told her that she needs to get, because we don't know. The doctor thought it wasn't a burr. It wasn't hay. It looked like a small hair. Got it, but I mean, I'll call it up, and then if people want to look, Mary Sansevier on Facebook.
But seriously, stop and buy some nice,
no,
cool
I'm going
goggles
to.
At a really cool shop,
well,
and she'll wear them.
I'm going to take her to pick them out herself, because me getting them is not, you know, she's not going to wear something I get her. Because what I like and she likes would be too. I told her, go home and tell Sawyer you want some of his shooting goggles. Well, she's not going to wear those.
Did somebody just give a bath to the pig or the monkey or the donkey? Or
wait a minute. When did we get a monkey?
Donkey. She meant to say donkey.
I hope so.
Yeah.
She had me worried there. I don't know. Okay. Okay, Ruth, thank you so much.
He's showing the photo around the table, which is great.
That's not a pleasant look.
No, it looks like it's actually Photoshopped.
Although you can almost accessorize it with a nice Ken Bone sweater.
It's just in time for Halloween.
It matches perfectly.
She's just a little too dedicated to Halloween.
Oh, my God. She's posted it within the last 4 hours. It has 80 comments already. Ruth, thank you so much. Ruth Lord and RuthLord.com at Psychic Ruth. You can check her out tonight at the Medina Entertainment Center. You'll find Ruth. Thank you, by the way, Kelly in Vegas. Thank you to her. Thank you to Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop Now. Thank you to Jeff O'Brien, at Jeff O'Brien on Twitter. When he posts his blog, you can find it there. So thank you to both of you. Sam, who loves your baby?
Me.
I'll ask again.
You got to start with that.
Who loves your baby?
If not yourself, who?
After you, who loves your baby?
You can't let in other people's love until you love yourself.
Okay,
I believe Donald Trump said that first.
Your old pap loves you. How about that? All right, thank you to everyone. Thank you to our listeners, our sponsors. It's been a lot of fun doing this. We hope to continue doing it for eons, and we will talk to you later. I just got to tell you, anyway.